Well, today we're going to talk about the worst pick in every round of the draft. To follow up talking about yesterday, the best pick in every round of every draft. But big news, guys, Stephon Diggs is going to the Houston Texans. That just broke 2 minutes ago. So we're going to talk about that here. Of course, everything else going on in the NFL. We'll find out the compensation. Oh, I didn't even put up. I'm swimming right now. Even above the screen. But we are already in a big board draft here on Underdog. Also, a new setup here for our various graphics. So let's get that going. It is, in fact, splash play. The sun is moving on the screen as well. We have a moving background. And I'm in the Influencer 101 in this draft. Of course, the big board, 200K to first place. We'll be drafting in this one today. Some regulars in here, of course, our guys, Snatch Catchers, who now trying to get in every single draft room, doing the thing that I always love to see here. He's in here again. We got Ray Shasu. I'm sure some other names in here. We'll talk about them as we go. What do we do? I mean, I talked about it. I'm willing to be with the field on exposure for Christian McCaffrey this year after being generally opposed to being with a lot of running backs in the first round last year. And I think we're going to do it. CMC share coming up here. So I am an RB piggy. Let's play the GIF. This is me right now, scarfing up running backs. I can't imagine a world without running backs right now. I need Christian McCaffrey. Sure, he's been getting 300 touches a year for 7 years now. Have to keep drafting him. That's where we're going to play into here. But McCaffrey, of course, the best workload in football. What, 5 red zone touches a game last year? Might be even higher than that. Let's see. Christian McCaffrey, not Christian Kirk, not Christian Watson. We don't care about these other Christians. Christian McCaffrey, 4.1 red zone rushes per game, 1.1 red zone targets a game. So just an ungodly amount of work for him, about as good as anybody. The only guy who had more red zone work than Christian McCaffrey last year was Kyren Williams, who 4.6 red zone rushes, 1.1 red zone targets game for Kyren last year. So Kyren, though, reports going around out there are Jordan Rodrigue, the beat reporter for The Athletic, who is the Rams lady, talking about that Kyren Williams, the Rams want to draft a real viable number two because they are worried about the injury history for Kyren. That's not great rumor and innuendo out there. So in terms of this workload being there again, McCaffrey probably the best bet for it. There we go. I don't care about Christians. Hey, my grandmother was a deacon for our Protestant church, so I got that with you. In a draft with Snatch Catcher, who also peaked too early here. Okay, so yeah, Snatch Catcher really trying to get in every room. Our guy Christopher, glad that he's filled with joy to be in drafts, but maybe dial it back a little. But so Diggs to the Texans. What does this mean? Number one, it means the thing that I've been talking about this entire offseason, that the Texans are going to add somebody. I thought they were live for a T. Higgins trade. Obviously, that's not the one that happens. I thought they were live to take a top pick in the draft. That's obviously not going to be what happens now. Adding Diggs is really for the guys going really high, which is Nico Collins has been going at the turn basically this entire draft. Nico Collins is not priced correctly now. Stephon Diggs being there, it's going to make Nico more efficient, but Nico's target workload is going to go down so much. You're not going to see him getting about 10 targets a game. You're going to see him getting closer to 5 to 7, which is okay because those could be touchdowns. For Nico, though, bad scene. For Tank Dell, I think he's a little bit more insulated. Tank Dell's going to move around that formation. Tank Dell also just being more of a burner, more of a guy that can make some plays, I think is a good thing. For Nico, though, he was just the beneficiary of CJ Stroud's genius. And I know I've talked about that here. I know people disagree. And for Nico, to his credit last year, I mean, he was a great player in all the metrics we talk about. 0.55 EPA per target would be one of the best marks in the league. 28% target per out run rate would be also one of the best marks in the league. You know, what did he do with it himself? I think would be the question mark. He had a 1.5 EPA on deep targets last year. So Nico Collins, I probably shouldn't crap on him too much. That said, for Nico, I think it's just all CJ Stroud. This is what we talked about last year doing the rookie QB previews. CJ Stroud added value at every level, being a plus EPA quarterback, throwing close to the line of scrimmage, throwing 10 plus yards, throwing 20 plus yards. He then made Nico have the best year of his career, where Nico went from being a minus EPA receiver to being glowingly positive. Like, that's not just Nico's talent going in from year 2 to year 3. So for him, I think it's a really bad scene. To me, Nico, and I think Diggs, well, Diggs, you can make the case should come up. Nico has to come down. Tank has to come down a little bit. If I had to guess, Nico's normally going here. I think he starts to go maybe at the 2-3 turn. Diggs probably comes up to where Nico was, which feels kind of wrong to have three receivers going top 40 for one team. But I think Tank Dell falls closer to late 30s would be my guess. But Diggs is probably the riser. And we see right now in this room, Diggs goes at 19. Or Diggs goes at 15, excuse me. Jesus. Let's see. What about the Bills side? Good question. Bills trading up for receiver. That is definitely my first thought, is that they are now more live to try to get a Malik Nabers type, to try to get a Romo Dunze type. Romo Dunze would be a massive winner getting this roll outside, basically rolling up some Diggs opportunity and some Gabe Davis opportunity into one. So that would be one that I think Odunze would make the most sense in terms of the draft capital it'll take to get him, as well as just the opportunity for him. Obviously, if they could trade up to get Harrison, that would be a win. I don't know that they have the ability to do that, but Harrison would be a huge replacement there who could do some Diggs kind of traditional boundary receiver stuff, can move the sticks, can also get downfield. Neighbors would be fun, but kind of duplicative for the Bills, where Curtis Samuel, the poorest man Neighbors, Shakir, an even poorer man's version of Neighbors. But Neighbors, I guess, would be live. But I think for the Bills, to me, it would be one of Harrison or Odunze, or maybe they take like a Franklin, an Adonai, maybe two of those guys. The Bills are live now for an overhaul. So any receiver you take as a rookie, you're going to bring in there. The bet you're making is that they go to the Bills, because this is now a tremendous opportunity for him. Also, Dalton Kincaid should come up for at least right now. Everybody should come up for the Bills until we know what they're going to do. But the assumption should be, though, like, I wouldn't drive up guys too crazy, because the Bills are going to add somebody, if not multiple somebodies, in the draft. And frankly, the Bills could be live. I don't think Cincinnati would do it. They could be live for a T. Higgins. They could make that move too. And maybe you get enough draft capital from Houston that you can make sense of that. So Nico goes pick 23. As we talked about, Diggs went pick 15. So that's the normal price now I would expect for those guys. We have two picks coming up here. Definitely need receivers. One of them for me is going to be Malik Neighbors. Again, just the upside there I'm buying in on. I'll get to the comments in a moment. Malik Neighbors, though, will be my first guy here. I mean, we can make a wacky bet and just say that Josh Allen gets Malik Neighbors as receiver. I don't think that's possible, though, or likely. Debo is my wide receiver, too. Does not make me feel great either. I mean, do we just buy Tank Dell on being on an ascendant offense and not knock down his ADP? I think it'd be one move. But it doesn't feel like I should reach for Tank Dell at this point, given that he's going to come down. So I'm going to take Debo Samuel here. Two receivers off the board. We have a bet in the Niners going. Christian McCaffrey, Malik Neighbors, Debo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk, I presume, already went to somebody here. And Brandon Ayuk went at 16. I don't think that's a good move at all. But anyway, Brandon Ayuk goes 16 in this room, so we'd not get a shot at him. But we have two Niners, which chalky start for me. But Malik Neighbors maybe makes us a little bit less chalky. Texans got beat wide receiver or best. Okay, there we go. There was a lot of typos in that one. Best wide receiver core in league. I think it's hard to argue that. Though, again, it's tough for me to separate Nico, what he did, from C.J. Stroud. I personally am a believer that everything that Nico did last year is because of C.J. Stroud. Obviously, you have to have some personal accountability there. We did see like Noah Brown have games that are reminiscent of what Nico was doing as well. So that's part of my logic there. I still think there are better wide receiver cores. In terms of the production, though, I would say the Texans wide receiver group probably going to produce better than almost everybody else in football. Where does this trade put Josh Allen's ADP? I mean, here it moved it to 28. I guess he should come down a little bit. I think part of the reason he was going where he did was people were enjoying double tapping Josh Allen and Diggs. So that might naturally make Allen come down. Realistically, it should be a positive for Allen because he's going to be able to be more agnostic with where he's going to put targets. He doesn't have to worry about his mercurial receiver that he has to feed the ball amount to X amount of times in the way that he wants to make sure that that guy's going to be happy and not completely submarine the team and make it toxic to be around. So I think that's a positive for him. Josh Allen, too, not having to feed Diggs means that he's going to have the ball. Like, this is his team now. There's no Diggs there. It's who's the vet who he's got to worry about. It's James Cook is the vet that he's got to, like, there's nobody there who takes anything off of Allen's plate. So in terms of Allen controlling every opportunity, I would liken it to like some of the women's college basketball players or basketball in general, I guess. But women's college basketball, like Juju Watkins, USC's girl, 42% usage, higher than anybody in the NBA. Caitlin Clark has about 40% usage and a 50% assist rate. She dominates 90% of the possessions. That's what Josh Allen's going to be. He's going to control 90% of the possession or percent of the possessions. So I think he's more valuable now, but he's obviously, you know, it's going to look uglier because Diggs is an elite receiver. So they have to add somebody who's as good as Diggs, you know, to keep it looking level. But I think Allen, to me, like, if he's going to get you 10 rushing touchdowns in a year, if he's going to get you 30 to 40, you know, throwing touchdowns in a year, passing touchdowns in a year, it's going to be when he doesn't have to feed a guy, like, because he can feed anybody. And frankly, if the Bills add Brian Thomas, maybe Xavier Worthy. I think they're going to add two, but I would say at least one. If they add Brian Thomas, it's not a huge target demanding guy anyway. He's still just going to get his big plays downfield, but he's only a 23% target per out run rate guy. So the expectation is he isn't going to be this alpha target earner. So it's possible for Allen to have like the best of both worlds, where he still has downfield guys. He still has weapons underneath that could take pressure off them, and he's going to run probably more. So big win for him, big win for James Cook right now. I think that's really one thing too, where just not having that receiver who's going to take away some red zone target work, some end zone target work, bodes better for Cooks. Also just really him being able to, just him being able to get some more checkdowns as well. That's in play. Everybody who's in Buffalo should look a little bit better, but I would expect the team to be worse for it personally. I can't imagine the Bills don't have any other plans, trades. I think the plan is going to be trying to get a rookie in. Again, it's the deepest draft class of wide receiver there's probably ever been in terms of the production they had in college, as well as the athletic profiles. So this is the class to do it. And frankly, again, the Bills can take two guys in this class and be better at wide receiver than they were. You know, replacing Diggs on the high end is going to be tough. Replacing Diggs plus Gabe Davis, I think, is an easier question to have. And again, if they get Odunze and Ladd McConkey, pretty fucking sick upgrade for them, I would say. CJ might come off the board here. He should. If his receivers are all worth, again, top 35 picks, then CJ Stroud should be going probably ahead of Lamar. The pricing for the Texans right now going to be a little bit too frothy. I really, especially for the big board, you know, I want to talk about some, actually a psychologist I'm reading some work on, because I think it is germane to this, but let me make my two picks here first. We have a 0-1-2-0. Definitely need at least one receiver here. I do think it might be nice to get Trey McBride as one of these picks. God, I don't love this pocket at receiver, honestly. This is a tough one for me. I like Trey McBride enough here. A shot we get Niners Arizona in week 17. Willing to do that. Trey McBride, elite tight end off the board. Need to make sure I stick receiver, though. Zay Flowers, rumors that Baltimore could bring in somebody else who might be a bigger target earner than Zay Flowers. Amari Cooper has gotten cheaper in a lot of rooms. I still think Terry McLaurin is undervalued. And actually taking Terry McLaurin and making me live to, I think, do something fun at QB. I'm in the bag for Terry McLaurin. You guys know this. I just think he's undervalued. I'm taking a pick 49. Team so far, Christian McCaffrey, Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Trey McBride. So we're talking a lot about, of course, the trade. Stephon Diggs going to the Texans, the fallout of all that. CJ Stroud goes pick 50 to snatch catchers, who has Nico Collins. So this kind of play, I think, doesn't do a lot for me. I guess he's going to discounted Nico, but you're reaching a little bit for Stroud. I don't know if that makes the most sense. Anyway, for me, worst picks in each round right now. First round to me, nothing really moved because of these news items. Worst pick of the first round to me, I think, is still Garrett Wilson. He hasn't been knocked down at all price-wise with Mike Williams going there. I think that's a mistake. Breece Hall's in the thumbnail. I don't think he's actually the worst pick in the first round, but to me, I think people are really holding in what he did in the back half of last year. And one guy in the comments yesterday, Stefan, I believe is his name, who's like a semi-regular, was like, A, that I love rookies too much, and B, I'm not high enough on Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall's very talented, but people have to remember that part of the reason he had so many outlier games down the stretch was he was getting fed 8 targets at least per game, upwards of 16 targets in one game. So Breece Hall was just a PPR scam down the home stretch. If this Jets team is going to be good, Breece Hall has a better shot to be good. But if the Jets team is feeding Mike Williams enough and he's healthy, the team is feeding team drafts Brock Bowers and they feed him, the team is feeding Garrett Wilson and he's improved, there's going to be less there for Breece Hall than there was in the back half of last year. So that's just one thing for me where, like, I don't love Breece. I do still think his teammate, Garrett Wilson, the worst pick in the first round. The second round, the worst pick to me right now, I think, would be Nico Collins. He's going to go down. Obviously, this is accounting for what happened today. But Diggs coming up, I'm okay with that. Diggs, to me, being undervalued all draft season, I think you're going to see that price, that CLV, materially realized. But for Nico Collins, to me, he needs to come down more. He's going to get backstopped a lot for these next few days, I would think, in the 20s. But Nico, to me, should probably be closer to late 20s, and then Tank should be closer to late 30s. Third round, for me, the worst pick that I would see This hurts me. I think it's Michael Pittman. Everybody else here has big play upside. Everybody else benefiting from guys leaving, potentially leaving, or they're on great teams. Debo Samuel gets both. He's on the great Niners team. He also can potentially, you know, maybe have Brandon Ayuk getting traded over the next few weeks. Chris Olave, no Michael Thomas. They're going to benefit him. Another year, Derek Carr going to benefit him. We kind of saw their chemistry coming along a little bit towards the back half last year. Mike Evans, if the Bucs are going to be anything resembling last year, Evans has to be the same thing again. Allen, we've talked about. Pittman, to me, though, a low A-dot receiver who maybe gets another guy added outside who's much better than Alec Pierce. If you add an Alec Pierce who actually can earn targets, if you add a Brock Bowers, a tight end, who basically the Colts have been linked to, too, I think it's not great for Pittman. So Pittman, maybe Rashee Rice, the legal issues, the latest things on Rashee Rice. He owned both cars that were in that accident in Dallas. So street racing might get you some jail time or at least closer to more than a misdemeanor. So I would say for me in this round, worst picks would be Michael Pittman, Rashee Rice. In the fourth round, the worst pick, I would say, it's a tough one. I think it's Rashad White. I know people like Rashad White. Obviously, people stoked to see him start to get that work last year. He wasn't that great getting that work. He wasn't that efficient. And towards the end of the year, we did see guys working in, Chase Edmonds working in, even Keyshawn Vaughn at points of that year working in, when they started to realize they don't want to give Rashad White 30 touches, including X amount in the pass game every day. So I think for Rashad White, I think he's overpriced right now for what we're seeing. To me, he would be the worst pick in the fourth round. In the fifth round, the worst pick, besides me taking Terry McLaurin, I think the worst pick would probably be Pacheco. A lot of bad signal. We talked yesterday, the Chiefs bringing in J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins doesn't go to the Chiefs. Instead, they re-signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's probably a win for Isaiah Pacheco and a loss for Dobbins, too. Probably not a great sign for Dobbins' health. But Pacheco, with the signal there, you can make the case that he's one of the worst picks, but he was going for more expensive for most of the big boards, so I think he's actually reasonable. I think the worst pick of the fifth round to me would be Patrick Mahomes. When you have Stroud, who we know is going to be basically on the upswing, throwing for 300 yards, 400 yards in games, Mahomes is now at the point of his career where he doesn't want to do that, doesn't have to do that. If that defense stays anything close to where it was last year, he just doesn't need it to be going as hard as he has to. So Mahomes, to me, we've talked about it enough, most mispriced guy, and especially when you have him in the same round as Stroud, as Richardson, two guys who are going to add a lot of value moving forward, going upward in year two. I think Mahomes, to me, not a guy I'd want to take in that round. And there we go. And Rashee Rice means he must have been driving both cars. I mean, look, if you're tied to both cars, I think that's still a bad thing. But yes, he could not be possibly driving both cars unless you were Vin Diesel in one of the Fast and the Furious movies. Then love finds a way, if that's the case. All right, pick coming up here. I've lived up to the title of the video. We've talked about Diggs. We've talked about the Bills. So guys, if you can, before we get to these next picks, please do hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Of course, Splash Play now in that March to 4K subs to 5K subs, and we can't do it without you guys. So please subscribe here at the like button. Every like and subscribe matters a lot here because this is basically my full-time job alongside probably. So please support the show, support the channel, hit that like button. Kittle here is actually not a bad pick. I am more of a believer in DeAndre Hopkins than most. Are we going to really do double elite tight end? It makes sense. I'm going to do it. Kittle, double elite tight end, and DeAndre Hopkins are the picks. As you guys know, I hate Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin, I assume, is going to go in this round, so I will safely say in the seventh round, Chris Godwin, my least favorite pick. Just not the style of player that goes to Baker Mayfield. If Chris Godwin went to the Bills, like maybe that starts to be a little bit more fun because he would probably be de facto the best receiver to play outside. But, you know, not the most exciting play in the world for me for a guy like Chris Godwin. Reading the chats here. I think Spag just came up with the next Fast and the Furious. They've already gotten to space in Fast and the Furious, so I don't know that Vin Diesel driving two cars is that special, but one in each hand. One stick shift in each hand for Vin Diesel. That's what we're looking for. Biggest fantasy loser, Dalton Schultz. Yeah. I mean, the good news, he probably gained some touchdown equity just from being like, who are you going to cover in that offense? You're going to cover Tank. You're going to cover Nico. You're going to cover Diggs the most. So maybe that opens up a little more touchdown upside. If anything, I think it makes Dalton Schultz an interesting spike week guy. But yeah, in terms of the floor, it's not that good. And Schultz, people have been excited about just being attached to that Houston offense. Also, guys, what do you think about the sun moving, by the way? I'm pointing the wrong way. The sun moving across the screen. I wanted to add a video background because everybody's doing it. So let me know what you think here. But that was the only way I could do it without completely redoing our Splash Play background, just making the sun move. And I like it. It's something. It's a visual element, right? Other bad picks in this round, too. Really, the seventh round, a round that you could say enough bad picks. Godwin, I've talked about, don't like him. Ramondre, ambiguous backfield, and he sucked last year. Najee Harris, I think he's okay. He's coming up enough where I liked Najee more in the 80s to 90s that he was getting a little more reliably earlier in the big board. JSN should be a little bit cheaper, but he's fine. I think he and Lockett should probably be flipped at this point. Just because JSN, it'll be easy for JSN to get on the field with the new coaching staff, but definitely a pick here that feels a little bit overpriced. Still would rather have him, I think, than Godwin. Thought that was a hamburger. No, that's the sun. We're on the beach and the sun is moving. That's how it goes. Can I add an eclipse? No, we do have eclipse classes here at home, though, so we're ready to go. Shout out to our guy Steve, by the way. Our guy Steve apparently was in the ER yesterday for his birthday, so send some love Steve's way. Hopefully you're doing better, bud, and shout out Steve here. Don't want any of you guys to die. I need... That's where my brain goes, right? It's like, I need every single viewer we have. Because this is a niche show, guys. So every single one of you, I want you to keep living well. Eat healthier. Cut the salt out. Whatever you need to do. Spag, sorry if you went over this. How do you feel about Josh now? Josh Engelman? Piece of shit. No. Love Josh. Josh Allen, again, I think Josh Allen's going to come down in ADP. He shouldn't because he's going to control the offense more. So I talked about that at length earlier in the video, but that's it. Everybody say, don't die, Steve. And then Tyler doing the nice thing. Rest up and feel better, Steve. Indeed. We're getting wet on the beach. We're getting wet on the beach. It's one thing I could add maybe a tide, but I don't know how to redo. I'd have to redo the entire graphics, and we paid a guy initially to do that, so not going to happen. We all agree. Yeah, fuck Josh Engelman, right? Josh, of course, one of my best friends in the industry, so don't take that literally. I love Josh. Sun moving is perfect. Not too much for us. Something shiny, peeps. Okay, I'll take it. All right, who's going to be my least favorite pick slash the worst pick in the eighth round? I'm curious about that. I have to give my team a read because a lot of excitement in the air, but let's give the team a read as well. Christian McCaffrey at running back, at wide receiver, Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, at tight end, Trey McBride, George Kittle. So we are done at tight end. I'm not adding a tight end three. Frankly, I think this is a nice little team here. I think I've capitalized on some of the ADPs moving around pretty well. So one guy I've been reading about, so my father-in-law actually was talking to me about him on Sunday as it relates to like how to market probably. This guy, Daniel Kahneman. So he's like former Nobel Prize winner. Also a guy who basically is a psychologist that research investor psychology. And I think it's relevant to probably people's instincts and how they handle investment. But it is relevant to the big board too, where especially for when things like this happen, don't hold yourself to the previous ADPs. Like don't hold yourself, for a big board, for a tournament, the game theory of it, it sometimes can be painful. But like for Nico Collins, like if you don't feel comfortable taking him in the late 20s, but you're like, hey, he's been going in the teens in a lot of drafts, I got to take him in the late 20s. It's not the reason to do it, because basically what the psychologist Daniel Kahneman writes about is how people's personal biases are the biggest things that kill them as investors. So for an app, like probably that's part of why my father-in-law was showing it to me, is that you should just be trusting the data more. You shouldn't go with your instincts. But also in general, for people out there that are making investments, whether it be best ball, whether it be in betting, it's like you really do want to just readjust what the current price is, readjust what the odds are, because the odds, the ADP that's happened in the past, that's gone. Like, don't tether yourself to that. And I know that's been a thing people have talked about, but hearing it from a psychologist who won a Nobel Prize, interesting to see some. I'm reading some of his stuff here, but I guess he passed away, so I read the article about that first. We're going to take Brock Purdy here, my first QB off the board. Obviously, this bet on the Niners. He's got to be one of our picks. I would like to get a fifth receiver here, but not my favorite pocket for receiver. We could go the running back way as well. Shore that up. I think I do want to go running back. I've not taken a lot of Eckler, but I still think Brian Thomas is the better pick. I'm going Brian Thomas. Out of these guys here, I like Thomas more than Eckler because of the fact that Thomas is going to be the goal line back in a Washington offense, I think will be ascendant, likely with Jaden Daniels, but whoever they get at QB is going to be an upgrade. Zamir White, I think, is okay, but he's just not the most talented guy. He's more of a role guy. There is a chance that they bring in somebody who's more talented than them, like a Jonathan Brooks, I think would make a lot of sense. Even a Dobbins, I think, would put a scare into Zamir White shares. Zamir White, to me, just ADP is a little bit more fluid. All right. Spags review team 11. I don't like giving team reviews, but team 11 has not picked a wide receiver yet. So I presume that's why I'm being asked. Team 11 has taken Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, Sam Laporta, Jalen Hurts, AR, Kenneth Walker, Dak Prescott, and Tony Pollard. The team makes no sense. I don't know what he's trying to do here. He didn't even get a discount at Jalen Hurts, really. He's got this bet on Detroit, and then he's not taking Jared Goff, which is okay if you're making bets on QBs who could beat Jared Goff, but you definitely don't need three of them this early. Just a bad team in pick 11. Like, that's fundamentally it. Are we doing a bit here? Shout out Young Beastie. Thoughts of the Texans. I guess we're just going to have to repeat it like a radio show when people come in. But Texans, basically, great move for their offense, great move for real-life football. Bad move for these ADPs. If you believe that Diggs, Nico, and Tank should all be going in the top 35, then Stroud should also probably be going to top 35. And Stroud, frankly, would probably be the MVP of the league and would throw for 5,000 yards if all these guys were going to pay off at ADP. You know, that said, all these guys can give you spike weeks in an offense that's ascendant, so I don't mind it. But yeah, like the Texans, going to be overpriced. I said it before, but I'll recap for anybody tuning in now. Diggs should come up. I think he should be in this range. Frankly, him going at the 1-2 turn again would not shock me. Nico, to me, should go down to the late 20s. Tank Dell should go to the late 30s just because Diggs is now the alpha target owner there. He is a better player than Nico Collins. I know people will see the results last year. You just have to keep in mind that Nico got that volume because there's nobody else out there to throw the ball to. And frankly, again, Noah Brown is not a world beater either. He looked as good as Nico in some games because that's CJ Stroud. That's the value that Stroud creates. I also think Noah Brown's still draftable, but basically to me, he should be a 20th round pick, 19th round pick that you're drafting only for, you know, handcuff value / 1-2 spike weeks a year. Let's see. Tyreek here is team 10. Oh, you're Don't Embiid my status. Tyreek, I didn't know that was you, but you're Fast Eddie Fears guy. So there we go. Did not know your real name was Tyreek. Shout out Tyreek. I've seen Tyreek around for years in the Stochastic days because used to do shows with Fast Eddie Fear, if you guys remember him from the NBA days. And I feel like Don't Embiid my status / Tyreek, one of Eddie's like longest term dudes. He's trying to collude. It's that simple. / going full Ruxin. You know, the 11 hole could be colluding, could be an idiot. Hard to say. You just don't know in some of these rooms, to be honest, guys. That's how it goes. Of course, gave the plug, but Splash Play, new drafts every day, Monday to Friday. So please, again, subscribe down below. Hit that like button. If you're watching live right after the fact, I just show up every day, and I show up and do this, talk about the news, talk about the items, talk about the data as well, and try to give the game theory takes about it. So hopefully we give you guys everything here on that's possible on stream as these things break. But again, show some love here if you're watching live. Hit the like button. And drop in any questions, any chats as well. Going to be check the chat more aggressively now. Worst picks coming up, by the way, in these rounds, because I did not hit round 8. And round 8, the worst pick to me, Nick Chubb. I just still think he should be cheaper coming off the ACL injury, likely on the PUP list. If you're going to miss 4 games, plus having a guy who's going to be 28 years old, 29 years old, getting the recovery coming off an ACL, not great. I like Nick Chubb. Think he's the best running back in football when he was healthy last year. Still, though, him in the 8th round would be the worst pick to me. In the 9th round, I think it's Tua. I just don't think Tua can beat most QBs above him, most QBs after him. Despite being the Miami QB, he's going to be the vessel for all that offense. He just doesn't run enough, and that is enough in an NFL where, like, Baker Mayfield runs 5 times a game. Tua, to me, would be the worst pick in the 9th round. I appreciate the contrarian nature. I don't think you're giant losers, but I do think you should hit the like button. Do I feel good about Aaron Jones, Minnesota? Feel pretty good about it. I think Minnesota is going to be one of those teams that does get a good QB outcome. Frankly, I'm comfortable rolling with Darnold. Minnesota now starting to smoke screen, saying that they might be willing to not take a QB this year, take one 2025. I think that's bullshit. They clearly traded up for that second first-round pick to try to move up. But it does seem like there is a hard bargain being driven by the number 3 spot, by the number 4 spot. I think the Vikings will pay that price tag, though, and end up with one of J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Both would be wins. Frankly, Bo Nix would be a win for Minnesota for cheaper, too, but I still think Denver the best spot for Bo Nix. Point being, though, Minnesota's going to be fine. It's just you're buying in on a 30-year-old guy who the Packers were protecting from himself last year. Minnesota, to some extent, going to protect him from himself this year. But I think Minnesota's going to be a perfectly fine offense, so Aaron Jones will be fine as long as he can stay healthy. But yeah, Ty Chandler there, still worth drafting. Have we done any biggest boards? Nope, only doing big boards on stream here. Frankly, just making the bankroll last because I'm funding a startup, so that's the way that things go for me. But yeah. Only big boards here on stream. Shout out to all the folks at the Pound Guys doing biggest boards. If you want some of that content, go check out some of the other great creators out there doing that. Hey, is Adam in the chat? Adam, I see you, bud. I need a wide receiver. And we are in Ladd McConkey season now because Ladd McConkey might be going to the Buffalo Bills. So Ladd McConkey, my first pick here. And then for my second pick, running back would be okay. But we are getting this Washington correlation. We're getting my boy Jaden Daniels. I want Jaden Daniels to be able to beat Brock Purdy in week 17 while Christian McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel go off. So that is what we're doing here. We have the bet on Washington. Anytime I take Terry McLaurin, I'm trying to get Jaden Daniels. So team so far, and I'm also stacking for week 17 of last year with the Niners and Washington. Team so far, QB, Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels. At running back, Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson Jr. Wide receiver, Malik Nabers, Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, and Ladd McConkey as wide receiver 5. It's Ladd time, and a tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. So we have the triple stack of Niners, so a good base stack here. Definitely the chalk, though. I'm not trying to tell you I did anything fancy, but I do think going Jaden Daniels, going with some different pockets of running backs and wide receivers. I'm hoping that's what gets me different for this build. But Niners, about as expected as can be, I think, as public as a team. The Niners, Atlanta, frankly, Houston right now, these are going to be the most public teams, I think, in drafts. Team is fire. Good team so far. Thank you. And the little lad likes berries and cream. Okay. Look, I'm sold on Ladd enough. I still think he should have been a better target earner. No matter what, I will say that. But that said, you know, I give Brian Thomas grace on that because he's a freak athlete who scored a lot of touchdowns. For Ladd, I'm going to give him grace because he's a great route runner who also is a freak athlete. So that's my justification for Ladd. Worst picks in these last few rounds. Frankly, Curtis Samuel has been coming up a lot. He is too cheap still, I think, at least for this current situation. Knowing Curtis Samuel is going to come down because of a rookie coming in, something to keep in mind. But Samuel, for right now, I imagine Samuel, because of their... You have to remember that, like, these drafts are such prisoners of the moment. The people in these drafts are very much prisoners of the moment. Because there's not currently a Bills wide receiver one, they're going to treat Samuel like he is that. So I imagine for the next few weeks, Samuel is going to come up to the 100s to 90s range, would be my guess. All right, so other guys in round 10 that I don't like very much. I don't hate round 10 overall, to be honest. You guys know I like Caleb Williams, think the Bears stack is undervalued. Dallas Goedert, nothing Kellen Moore has done with tight ends makes me think that Dallas Goedert can be special again. He really regressed last year to being not, again, not a 1A, 1B, 1C thing like he kind of was the year before. It wasn't even he was number two. He was like number three in terms of that target order of everything. So as long as Brown and Smith are healthy, I think it's not a great scene for Goedert. And you have Saquon there too. Goedert to me would be the worst pick in round 10. In round 11... Round 11, the worst pick, I think, is still Dalton Schultz right now. No, that can't be true. Hockenson's going to be out for at least half the year. It's still Hockenson. Hockenson, to me, can go to the 150s, and I think that would still be okay. Obviously, if you're buying in on him, you're hoping he gets healthy. He can come in for the back half of the season. That's a reasonable bet to make, especially if you're already making a bet on Minnesota. For Hockenson, though, I think he's one of my least favorite picks and has been since he was in the 90s in the big board. Now he's down to the 120s. I think he could stand to go down a little bit more, personally. Like, I'd rather have Schultz over him. I'd rather have Komet in an ascendant Chicago offense. I'd rather have Goedert, though I think Goedert should be behind those guys. Ladd's an elite RAS athlete, but not a freak athlete. Let's not get carried away. How are we defining the difference there? Like, as a freak athlete, we're just going to say, like, a huge guy who has a great RAS? Because if that's the case, that I don't know that that's how I'd qualify a freak athlete. But, you know, if we're going to say, again, to go back to the Daniel Kahneman guy, the way that he recommends viewing everything in an investment is like view it relative to the base rate. So let's say for BBM, the base rate we assume of success for any player is going to be 8%. How much more likely do you think a player hits than 8%? And then that should be what you're trying to invest off of. For that situation we're talking about with some of these guys like a Ladd, like the base rate of athletes in the draft this year is higher, but Ladd was still a better athlete than, you know, 90% of receivers in the last 10 years. So I don't know. But I do think that athletic testing is getting more like the SAT, where it's like you can kind of, you know, start to finesse it a little bit more. We have a 2-2-5-2 here. We have the bet on Washington. I'm not a big Jahan Dotson guy, but right here with the bet we have, I'm just going to add him in. Jahan Dotson will be one pick. We need to get in some more running back help. Good. I have no issue with Aaron Jones, but Ty Chandler is going to get work throughout the year. frankly, better than AJ Dillon is, and different teams and all that. But Ty Chandler, to me, I think a little bit undervalued. Team still wants to use him. How much they're going to use him, we'll find out. My team so far, 2-3-6-2, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels at running back, Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson Jr., Ty Chandler. Wide receiver, we got Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, Ladd McConkey, and Jahan Dotson. I know Jahan Dotson, to me, definitely the weakest part of this, but we have the bet on Washington. Why not do it? And a tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. So we got a Niner stack. We got a Washington stack. We got some upside guys around that, hopefully. I like the team. I'm happy with the team. Worst pick in round 12, Keon Coleman. That didn't take me very long. It's Keon Coleman. It would probably be Aaron Rodgers for me, too. I just think he's one of those guys, like a Kenny Pickett last year, that I did make the bet on, to be clear. But that was a lesson learned for me with Kenny Pickett, that guys I just don't think have the biggest upside, I don't want to be on, even if I like the players in their stack. So Aaron Rodgers, to me, is that guy for this year. Again, he wasn't good in fantasy 2 years ago. Now coming off an Achilles, is he going to be better because the Jets are better? I think even if the Jets are good, it's not because of Aaron Rodgers throwing for 300, 400 yards over and over again. So to me, he'd be the worst pick in that round, but Keon Coleman, not far off. Keon Coleman, bigger Jonathan Mingo, guys. I've been saying it from day one. For round 13, we'll see who's the worst pick in this round. New OC at Washington was the guy who fed Ertz massively at the Cards last year. Are we talking about, is Cliff Kingsbury now downgraded to just a new OC at Washington? yes, he did feed Ertz well. And look, I think Ertz, to me, in a Jaden Daniels stack, Ertz is a fine pick. Obviously, for this team right now, I don't think I need Ertz with McBride and with George Kittle. We'll see. Love me some Will Levis, TBH. The one thing you say about Will Levis, a willing deep ball thrower. And as we've talked about here, the two things you want to see from your fantasy QBs, willing deep ball thrower, willing rusher. Ideally, if you have both those, that's where the star power comes out. And Levis, think he should be willing to run more. We'll see. But he's getting a great coaching upgrade. If he's going to hit a ceiling, the situation they have him in right now, or Brian Callahan, is going to establish the run well. He's also going to set up the pass well off of the run. So Will Levis is going to be in the best situation he's going to have. And if he's going to hit, this is his chance to hit. But the talent level, you know, still a little bit iffy. Will this be a Levis team? Yeah, not a Levis team, I think, because we do have the two QBs. I don't need a third QB if I have Brock and Jaden Daniels, but as a luxury, Will Levis, I suppose. But Will Levis goes high enough now. Like, Will Levis, I reliably see go in the 150s a lot. He normally has a 166.5 ADP. But yeah, I don't mind a sliding Levis, but I'm not going to reach for him in this particular build. Now, have anybody seen the draft capital, by the way, going Houston's way? Because obviously the trade broke of Diggs to the Texans, if you're just tuning in. Trade broke right before the show, so I don't know what the draft capital was besides that it was draft considerations, but definitely be curious, because I think Diggs, I would guess a third, that could be a conditional second based on playing time slash maybe playoff stuff. Got to think that the Texans are giving up something. Raish Hasu here takes Will Levis, so we will not have to worry about taking him. Raish Hasu does have Calvin Ridley, so at least he's correlated. So Will Levis goes to a good correlated home. 2025 second. All right. I wasn't far off. I would have thought, yeah, a third that upgrades to a second, so that's fine. Yeah, that's a fair trade for everybody, I think. Let's see. What hype team do you think can disappoint? The one that's too overhyped right now that could disappoint just because of the fact that it is an aged QB coming off a bad injury, it's Atlanta. Atlanta, the entire bet is on Kirk Cousins changing the seam. I do think that's a good bet to make because Kirk Cousins is a better version of Matthew Stafford. Getting this Rams offense, all the Rams imports coming over. There's a deliberate scheme here designed to steal from what Sean McVay and the Rams have done. So I think that I'm okay with Atlanta becoming a crown before they've done anything team, but they are very much a crown before they've done anything team, and you are staking everything on this very highly paid QB coming off a serious injury. I know we've gotten to a point where QB injuries, QB age, less of a factor than it's been in the past, but I think Atlanta is the one where it's like they haven't done anything yet. They're kind of getting crowned. I think they're more Detroit than not, where I had that same kind of about Detroit last year, but still was willing to buy in on the talent and was above the field and all the key guys, I guess, besides Gibbs. To me, it's like Atlanta's the exact same thing as Detroit last year. And I'm willing to make the positive of the bet, but if like Kirk Cousins starts coming up to the 80s, I think that's where the bet starts to look a little bit less good. Atlanta overhyped. You like that? You like that? And by, I just have to shout out our guy Jeff here. But Jeff, in Africa, I believe. I say Asia, but I think it's actually Africa. Our guy Jeff in another part of the world right now, joining Splash Play. So shout out to you guys here. Best community in best ball. I appreciate you guys being here in fantasy football overall. So if you're new around here, hit the like button and subscribe and become a part of the Squirt Squad here. We are a great community. And in particular, all the guys in chat do a great job every day. Making it fun. 2-3-6-2 coming up here. Got a couple different needs. Could go wide receiver. Running back, also fine. Let's see what the old snatch catchers is doing here. Snatch catchers takes Pearsall, who would have been a consideration for me. Could handcuff Christian McCaffrey, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going Antonio Gibson here. One pick to give us four running backs. Don't think I'm going to scroll down too far yet. Roshan at this point for RB5, knowing that RB is going to be dead pretty soon. I can live with it. Roshan, RB5. All right, team so far, 2-5-6-2. We've got Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels at QB. Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson Jr., Ty Chandler, Antonio Gibson, and a cheap Roshan Jr. here at running back. Wide receiver, Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, Ladd McConkey, Jahan Dotson at wide receiver. Then a tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. Nice team. Nice team. Weird trade. Feel like the Diggs Allen drama must have been real. The Diggs trade, Bills dump Diggs 2025 on a win-win team, or win now team rather. You could tell they weren't happy with Diggs. You could tell he wasn't happy with them. I still think they could have fixed it if they wanted to. These guys are still pros, and Diggs and Allen have had a decent relationship, even though it did seem a little bit frayed at points, especially last year. I think if you're the Bills, I think the Bills are doing the right thing in this draft class, to be honest. Like, if Diggs is so expensive, you could get rid of him. He's going to be a big upgrade for Houston, man. Like, I know you guys like Nico, but Diggs is a lot better, a lot more competent receiver than Nico is. A lot more well-rounded receiver as well, where Nico's just going to be able to get those go balls as a big guy. Diggs is going to open up the route tree so much more, and then also open things up for Dell. It's a huge win for Houston. So them to pay that price, I'm okay with. For Buffalo, I think as long as they're making a bet in the draft class where you can get, I mean, if you want to go early draft capital, you can get the stars, you can get Harrison, you can get Odunze, you can get Nabers. You can go a little bit later, you can get your A.D. Mitchells, your Troy Franklins. You can go a little bit later and you can get your Lads and your other guys like in that range. You go even later and get your Malik Washingtons and you can get a shot at some other guys. I left out Brian Thomas here, but he'd be another great fit for them. They have so many ways they can add great. You go even later and get Javon Baker as your outside receiver. People like him enough. So they have a lot of great outs. Brendan Rice would be fucking awesome on Buffalo. They have a lot of outs to make wide receiver better. So if you're going to trade your star player and also lose your number two guy in free agency, this was the year to do it. So they could be geniuses or they could be fucking up the championship window even worse. I think it's a smart move, but you guys know me. I feel that way about every position. Attack it with volume if you're a football team, and especially in a draft class where, as we talked about, not everybody can be a first-round pick, especially in this draft class of wide receiver. Not everybody can be a second- or third-round pick, so you're going to get some screaming values. If the Bills add Pearsall and Brendan Rice at pick 100 or pick 150 in an NFL draft, like, that's fine enough for them. Like, they're going to do well. If they add them in the fifth, sixth round, even better. I don't know. I think they have a lot of wins, man. They have a lot of potential wins. Why do you think Diggs hurts the boundary receiver? This hurts Tank Dell way more. I mean, Diggs' route tree was mostly going outside. I mean, he did move into the slot sometimes, but it was mostly the third receiver in Buffalo who played out of the slot slash Dalton Kincaid. So, like, it's really Diggs is the boundary receiver. That's what he does. He stretches the ball downfield. His A dot is not even that close to the line of scrimmage generally anyway. Diggs was a 10.8 A dot. So, like, he's basically was downfield in that Buffalo offense anyway. So, like, Nico's still going to run go routes, but, like, I think for Tank, what it's going to open up for Tank is you see the attention shifted towards Diggs's way. Tank working underneath or Tank working underneath and then going downfield is going to be there a lot more. Whereas Nico just losing boundary touches is the big thing. Nico needed to gain in targets this year to pay off this ADP. Him going down, he's going to give you still spike weeks, but, like, Diggs week to week is going to be the one getting you 15 to 20 points. Nico is going to get you tens, eights, and then 30, I think. That's how I view it, at least. My infant son had a massive blowout mid-draft. Wife demanded immediate bath on a draft contract. Hey, look, man, I respect that. I've never, Obviously, we have a 2-year-old here, my son Luca, who is now fucking woke me up at 3 a.m. and then also in the morning decided that he needed to wake me up in the morning too, like coming in the room and he's like, dad, like fucking very excited, very cute and all that. I feel like the alcohol wipes though, or like, you know, diaper wipes, like they do enough for you. I don't think you need to do more. All right, 2-5-6-2 here, two picks coming up. I think we're probably done at running back, though we could add one more. I think at this point we're just soaking up value because the team's got a pretty good base. And we're already stacked fully too, so really don't need anything there. I'm going to go Malachi Corley here just for the upside for the first pick. Again, just trying to add some more wide receiver value in here. And I feel like with seven receivers, I actually can take a luxury sixth running back. As I talk about a lot here, even with an early running back pick, I do still like to take enough volume at running back to make up for the fact that McCaffrey can get hurt for a stretch of the year and then be a guy that I need to carry me in the playoffs, or the inverse. McCaffrey carries me through 14 weeks, gets hurt, I need to survive in the playoffs. So yeah, I'm going to add Miles Sanders in that ambiguous Carolina backfield. I know he's not a fun pick. People probably would rather have Ray Davis. I just don't think Ray Davis matters. Miles Sanders is on a decent contract in an ambiguous backfield with a new coaching staff. Miles Sanders is my RB6. Team so far, a 2-6-7-2 QB. We've got Brock Purdy and Jane Daniels. Running back, CMC, Brian Robinson Jr., Ty Chandler, Antonio Gibson, Roschon Johnson, and Miles Sanders. So we made it up in volume here, even though obviously dialed back position pretty hard after taking CMC. Wide receiver, we've got Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, Ladd McConkey, Jahan Dotson, and Malachi Corley. Definitely have a type with some of these late guys here, but that's okay. And a tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. We got that position early, and we haven't gone back to it since. Most painful team to draft when you start up spag stacks. Tampa Bay is okay because I don't mind taking Mike Evans. Pittsburgh, probably for me. I still love Pickens, but I don't want to take Pickens at an elevated ADP when they might add a second receiver, when it's still Arthur Smith there calling the plays. I think to me that's the worst one. And also you have this thing too that Tripp is apparently doing here. I don't want to take Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. That's not a great move here, especially like this guy's doing four QBs with Russ and Justin Fields. I don't think that's a good way to draft, but like I get why you do that with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh to me, top to bottom, you could take the wrong QB, you could take the wrong receivers at the wrong ADPs. I hate Pittsburgh. You hate Pittsburgh. I'm projecting too much, but I could see Ray Davis in Tampa as OC. Kentucky's the new OC there. Plus, if Rashad White is not... Okay. Rashad White is not that efficient. So, and I do agree that they might want to add somebody. I think if they're going to add somebody, though, I think it would be in the pass game. And Ray Davis is an okay pass catcher, but I think his main value is as a rusher. I guess he can do enough of both that maybe you can force that. What would be fun for Tampa Bay would be Dylan Labe. If they really do want to add a pass catcher in. Dylan Labe with Baker Mayfield, how Baker sometimes really fed Rashad White last year. Dylan Labe would actually make some shit happen in the pass game. And I think, frankly, Dylan Labe could be a lot of fun in a lot of different offenses. I know people don't want to hear that from the scrappy white guy running back thing, but he is that. All right, people talking about Brock Bowers, best overall prospect as a receiver, yeah. We all know I like Brock Bowers too. The only time I'm not taking a Brock Bowers is if, A, I'm just doing late tight end, or I don't get the Trey McBrides and George Kittles. But to me, Brock Bowers, rather have Brock more than a lot of tight ends in that range. Worst picks in these rounds, by the way. Haven't done these for a few, so we'll catch up on that. Worst pick in round 13. 13 is not a bad round. I think it should be Leo McLaughlin for me. Maybe Brandon Cooks. Still a shot. Dallas upgrades that wide receiver position next to CeeDee Lamb. So Cooks to me has a shot, but I think McLaughlin would be my least favorite pick there. In round 14, least favorite pick. I don't know that Geno's locked in to be a starter like the entire year for Seattle, but I don't know that I want to make that call. Probably Rico Dowdle in round 14. Just like right now he's being drafted on the hope that he could end up the starter. He's not going to be the starter no matter what. So I think inherently that bet's not great. Rico would probably be my least favorite pick in round 14. Gibson too, frankly, even though I took him, not a great pick really. He's okay. Ambiguous backfield is a positive for him, but for Gibson, just not a lot of talent. And frankly, I think as I've talked about, he's overvalued because he had a couple good games, you know, 4 years ago now that people are still holding near and dear. In round 15, worst pick slash my least favorite pick has to be Justin Fields. Just, you don't know that he's starting. He shouldn't be going ahead of Russ, but Russ also really shouldn't be going much higher. Fields, to me, probably should be better priced than the 200s. Derek Carr, we know, is starting on an offense where there's actual viable pass catchers with him in an offense that's actually going to pass the ball. And we saw a move closer to Carr instead of Taysom Hill as the year went on. So Carr, to me, a much better pick than Fields at 173. In round 16, worst pick, Jermaine Burton. Again, it's a really deep class. I don't know why people really want to force in the Burtons and Javon Baker so much. There's a lot of great rookie receivers. Burton's an okay one. That's basically it. All right, 2672 here. Jalen Hyatt would not be a bad pick to give us one more spike week guy at receiver. Maybe a shot we get some Washington New York Giants correlation in week 17. Jalen Hyatt will be one of my picks. And we could still make the bet on Tennessee with Treylon Burks. We're going to go to 9 receivers here. Honestly, might be a 3 tight end build just because I don't think I want to add a 10th receiver. But 9 receivers for me. Got the micro bet on Tennessee with Hopkins, so we added in Burks to try to get some leverage against Hopkins in case somehow Treylon Burks goes off. We'll see if that can even happen anymore, but it is entering year 3 for Burks, so his last shot to be good, even though having Ridley, having Hopkins there, can obviously keep him impeded for the most part. Let's give the team a read, though. Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels at QB. Again, I feel pretty good with 2 QBs in that kind of build. Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson Jr., Ty Chandler, Antonio Gibson, Roschon Johnson, and Miles Sanders at running back. Could make the case to take one more flyer at running back, though I don't even know who that would be at this point. Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins, Ladd McConkey, Jahan Dotson, Malachi Corley, Jalen Hyatt, and Treylon Burks. Because we only took 4 receivers in the top 100, I did try to make it up here, grabbing 5 a little bit later. And a tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle. I think we built a fun team here amidst a room that, you know, a little bit tougher. A little bit tougher to figure out, obviously, with ADPs moving around. The room itself, I guess, wasn't that tough. Maybe you convinced me that Jaheim Bell's a good receiving tight end, but not a better... I think we're still talking about Brock Bauer stuff. Okay, these guys are debating in the chat. Glad to see the debate here. I own almost nothing of the Steelers and Seahawks rosters. Seahawks would have looked a lot better if they got rid of Lockett. I wouldn't fade the Seahawks, though. I think the Geno part worries me, but Metcalf, one of Walker or Charbonnet, I prefer Charbonnet. JSN, Lockett, it's crowded, but the guy they're bringing in, an offensive coordinator, really did run a fantasy-friendly offense at Washington, at University of Washington last year, Ryan Grubb. So I'm okay buying it on Seattle. The Geno part, though, Geno could have a quicker hook, especially if they do get the Bo Nix. If they somehow got Penix, Penix would make a lot of sense for Seattle. Like both the Washington stuff, plus the fact that he's a deep ball guy and he knows Grubbs. Penix gets linked a lot to the Raiders. If he were to fall to the second round and go to Seattle, that'd probably be a much better fit for him. One regret I have here, and actually for me, I'll take the lump on worst pick of round 19. Kind of think Brendan Rice is a better pick than Treylon Burks. I took Burks because of the Tennessee play there and the correlation, and I took Hyatt for the potential. I mean, he's still a deep ball guy. He's going to be a veteran basketball guy always, but potential correlation for Washington. I think Brendan Rice is a better player than Burks, and I think Rice might be better and might get a better landing spot now with Buffalo having some vacancies. Rice to Buffalo makes a lot of sense to me. Like, as like a really good possession kind of receiver to replace Diggs as part of that. He's not going to stretch the field quite as well as a Diggs would. So maybe you do add Brendan Rice and then that Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin archetype, Adonai Mitchell archetype. Love the Lockett, DK, and Fant stack. That's fine. I like micro stacks. I just don't have the faith in Geno. I don't have the faith in Geno being there all year. This is like do or die year for him, and I think it's going to be a die. He was going the wrong way last year. He really did not add a lot of value fantasy-wise. And then in terms of the actual advanced analytics, like, was also regressing in a way that I guess is not to be a shocker. But we'll see. It's a new offense. So, like, he might get the Baker Mayfield glow up, not from Dave Canales, obviously, but get that same kind of glow up because of the offense being very aggressive and willing to throw downfield. What do you do, draft Geno and Penix? I just wouldn't draft either. If you have an ambiguous QB situation or a QB that you think might not hold into the job, just draft the stack without the QB is usually the move for me. And frankly, even if I had a Seattle stack, I'd probably draft a different QB anyway, because I think a lot of QBs can beat Geno in week 17, let alone, you know, beat Geno weeks 1 through 16. Howell's backup in Seattle. Yeah, I mean, again, they could still add somebody else, though, to be the third. But yeah, Howell's the backup, and it was a deliberate choice by this new regime there. So, again, not a great sign, I think, for old Geno. Dylan Labe gets drafted by snatch catchers here. So Labe, hey, good pick. Want Penix to Vegas. Feels like if he goes to Seattle, he won't play this year. Yeah, he definitely, he would have a very tough time to play this year. He's a better prospect than Howell, though. Similarities, but he's a better athlete, bigger body. And Howell, willing deep ball thrower that kind of got coached out of that at Washington in a way that was not helpful for him. Am I on track to max? No. So whatever I'm putting out on stream is going to be it. I think I can get enough quality entries in for the big board. I will max out BBM, but I'm not planning on maxing out the big board. All right, 2692 here. It could go third tight end. The Zach Ertz already went. I don't think Malik Washington should go undrafted, and that might be what I do because running back is kind of ass. I don't know that any of these guys do a whole lot for me there. Yeah, I'm going to go Malik Washington. All right, my final team here, draft number 45 for me in the big board. We got Brock Purdy and Jayden Daniels at QB, a running back Christian McCaffrey, Brian Robinson Jr., Ty Chandler, Antonio Gibson, Roschon Johnson, and Miles Sanders. So definitely, I think it could have added one more running back, but these guys are all ambiguous backfield situations for the most part. Maybe they could win a role, though Roschon not going to beat out Swift. Sanders, better shot at beating out Chuba, but still not a great shot. At wide receiver, we went heavy at volume because we did not take my usual cozy amount early. Malik Nabers, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, DeAndre Hopkins are the first guys we got in the top 100 picks. They went Ladd McConkey, Jahan Dotson, Malachi Corley, Jalen Hyatt, Treylon Burks, and Malik Washington. Maybe too much volume at receiver, but it was just a better position than running back to go too late. And at tight end, Trey McBride and George Kittle, that's the final team. Do I buy a Colts Flacco jersey? No, we buy an AR jersey. What are you talking about? Either way, guys, appreciate y'all being here live. Of course, make sure to subscribe down below. Hit that like button. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. It all helps the overall picture, helps get seen by more people. And for all of you guys who watch this video, you can tell I do the work here, not just doing drafts every day, Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. I do the prep work. I know football as best I can inside it out. I have the analytics, the best analytics in the world for Sports Info Solutions. So every day I try to make sure to add value to your guys just for spending the time here. And I really do appreciate you guys if you're watching for the first time coming on board. Of course, Underdog, promo code Splash on there, double your deposit up to $100. Probably my baby get 50% off best sports dating data in the world, sports betting data in the world, not sports dating. If you want to date an athlete, don't go to Probably. Or I guess if you do, if you want to date one of the NCAA women's, just go and go, hey, I placed a bet on you, Caitlin Clark, marry me. I think that's, she would love to hear that. Promo code Splash on there will save you 50% though on your first month or first year. You can also get a 7-day free trial of Probably in the App Store. I will leave it in the pinned comments down below. And of course, if you leave 5 stars and a review for Probably, you'll be entered to win a guest hosting spot on Splash Play, which we'll give away on the, I guess in like 12 days. So stay tuned for that one. If you're playing DFS, check Stochastic, 15% off of all their data with the promo code Splash as well. Link in the description for that. And thank you to all these fine folks who've helped us put on Splash Play. Hit the join button down below, $4.99 a month. Helps you support the channel. We'll also get you my Spags rankings coming out, which will be good for BBM. The second that the NFL draft ends, about the second, but you know, that week probably will be when it comes out. So lots of things coming up here. Of course, custom emojis, all the VIP perks, members know things. Members get a secret Discord as well by syncing their YouTube channel to Discord. So it's what you get if you're our member on here. And of course, my undying support as all these fine folks have. Follow me at Chris Spags. Follow the show at Splash Play Pod and game responsibly if you can. Woo! Don't go reaching for Nico Collins now. Game responsibly. Tank Dell dropping an ADP. Game responsibly. That's takeaways from today. I'll be back tomorrow with more. So enjoy your days, guys. And of course, good luck. Bye.